Anyhow, let's get back to your patient. So as you mentioned, she had a good response to crizotinib.
Yep.
Incidentally, any side effects, tolerability issues with the crizotinib?
No, I mean, it's funny because crizotinib is this amazing development story where it's led to two FDA approvals already from a phase one study, technically, ALK and ROS1 and MET exon 14, I'm sure will probably be the next one. So we have enormous amounts of data in terms of the tolerability because we've treated lots of people with these other molecular abnormalities. And she tolerated fine. She had a little bit of nausea, which gets better when you take it with food, a little bit of diarrhea, which she didn't even medicate for.
I got to get an update on your long-term interest. I don't know if it continues in hypogonadism with crizotinib. Are you still looking at that?
Well, so it happens. I mean, if we get on and talk about, you know, the role of crizotinib with the latest ALEX data, I don't know how many people are going to be on crizotinib. But it's definitely an issue for some men. And again, if it's low, I send them to an endocrinologist and they discuss replacement therapy. I think it's much more an issue for young men than older men.
Coming back to your patient, so she gets crizotinib. And again, as you said, has a response, tolerates it well. What was the next thing that happened?
Well, so crizotinib's Achilles heel is it's not very good at getting into the brain. As you list, you know, all of these molecular subtypes of lung cancer, the natural history of each of these is still being described. It's like suddenly discovering new diseases. Exactly what the frequency of brain metastases in MET exon 14 is unknown, but this lady who had no brain metastases at baseline developed a large number of highly symptomatic brain metastases. She developed word-finding difficulties, confusion. She couldn't, I mean, she's the CEO of her company. She couldn't sustain those kind of high-level meetings. We did a brain scan, and she's gone from nothing to a complete snowstorm of deposits in her brain with lots of edema. And whilst I am not a fan of whole brain radiotherapy because we're trying to keep people alive long enough they might manifest radiation dementia these days, for her I had no choice. So she ended up getting whole brain radiotherapy. She stayed on the crizotinib, but about 2 months later, so about 9 months from when she started, which is in fact actually the median duration of response in what's been shown previously with MET exon 14, she was progressing in the lungs.
So can we just stop for a second and maybe do a little review of MET exon 14?
Sure.
And what its characteristics are, particularly its propensity, if any, for the CNS, as in this patient. And also, what's happening in terms of second-line targeted therapy? Is there anything out there that's worth considering?
So MET exon 14, as mentioned, these are hard to find with some of the standard sequencing platforms we've used. There are multiple different mutations. And essentially what they deal with is the splicing out of the introns. So normally you get your transcript, which has got introns and exons. You splice out the information from the introns and you join your exons together. But if you mess up those splice sites, then when you do your splicing, you can take a whole exon out with it. So it's kind of like you haven't done the right editing. And the exon that is lost is exon 14, which codes for the ubiquitination site, which is essentially the expiry date of MET. So it hangs around in the cell longer. It accumulates as it self-accumulates its signals. So the similar thing probably happens with high-level MET amplification. You just have more of the protein. In MET amplification, you still have a ubiquitination domain, but it self-aggregates and causes signaling. Ubiquitinization is essentially you tag a protein, and when it is ubiquitinated, it is taken to the trash can in the cell. It's a protein degradation pathway.
Wow, that's cool. Anyhow, so what about second and beyond crizotinib targeted therapy? And this is not uncommon, right? This is a fairly common alteration?
If you look for it properly, they claim it's about 4% of adenocarcinoma in the lung. That's the ALK frequency.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And so the fact that most people haven't seen it is because their assays aren't looking for it.
Well, the other thing is, in the same survey, we said, what do you need to rule out in a stable patient who could wait before you give first-line chemo? And a lot of people are now saying MET exon 14 is part of, obviously, EGFR and ALK and ROS1 are on there. But we saw a lot of people saying that about BRAF, about exon 14.
Yeah. I think for the ones that are getting response rates, I would conservatively say 40% or greater, because that's higher than first-line chemotherapy. Those were things you would think about waiting for. For RET, where you're kind of down about 30%, that's still a work in progress. For HER2, still a work in progress.